الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما صدق الله العظيم. We have been discussing the qualities, the traits, the characteristics of Ibadur Rahman the past few weeks, of course last week of Eid al-Adha. Today we conclude this topic of Ibadur Rahman as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had explained in Surah Al-Furqan. In the closing verses of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah had mentioned the qualities, the characteristics, the traits of these bondsmen and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the slaves of Rahman. And we had discussed all these qualities. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةِ These people. Which people? The Ibadur Rahman. And just to reiterate very quickly the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, the first one was Yamshuna عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. We're not going to discuss this in detail again. We've already discussed each trait. Almost every majlis we discuss one. So they had humility. This was the salient feature in their lives, that they had humility. They were free of pride. They did not look down upon people. They lowered themselves. They regarded themselves to be inferior and everybody else to be superior. They had what we call tawadu. So when they walked on this earth, they did not walk with arrogance and pride and haughtiness. So this was the first quality. And the second quality, they had hilm in them, they had tolerance to such an extent that if an ignorant person would use some sarcastic words against them or reprimand them for no reason or be vulgar or use vulgar language or foul language or indecent words, then they would just come out of this without engaging in any argument. So the first quality was humility, second one is tolerance. Third one, we discussed this quite in detail, that they engage in tahajjud salat. And we had mentioned the benefits of tahajjud salat. Alhamdulillah, so many people, only the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had mentioned that alhamdulillah, we have now commenced reading tahajjud salat and we make dua to Allah ta'ala, that Allah give all of us istiqamat and Allah give us a tawfiq. Sometimes a person feels it difficult in summer months when it is Fajr is very, very early. Now to wake up for tahajjud salat is difficult. So here again our mashayikh ulama after looking into Quran, hadith, looking at the masail or fuqaha mentioned and looking at the lives of the pious predecessors, then they have made it so easy for us. That from Isha time a person can engage in tahajjud salat, meaning you can eat 2 rakat tahajjud salat now even. And you will still get the reward of tahajjud. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at times he would read tahajjud salat in the beginning part of the night. That means from after Isha. Sometimes midnight, middle of the night. And most of the times he would read his tahajjud salat towards the latter part of the night. The last 1/3 of the night. So obviously he would sleep and then wake up. That is the ideal thing. If a person goes to sleep and then he wakes up. But if that's not going to be possible, if not going to be possible, or we feel that we, in case we wake up in the night and then we go back to sleep, then we might miss our fadr. MD 260432, kindly remove your car. So if we have that fear that if we wake up for tahajjud salat, then our fajr we will miss, then we should read our tahajjud before we go to sleep. Read it with isha salat, no nafil, make the niyat of tahajjud, or before going to sleep, 2 rakat or 4 rakat namaz, and then wake up for fajr. If during the night, if a person read tahajjud now, for example, and then he goes to sleep, and then he wakes up at night, and he has the strength to perform tahajjud, then he can engage in more tahajjud. There's no problem in that. Not that you have to only read 2 rakat or 4 rakat. You engage in nafil, engage in tahajjud salat. Ulama have even said that even if a person is sleeping at night, and his eyes open, but he's feeling very, very tired, he's unable to come out of the bed, then he just sings Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and turning his side, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, you're not reading tahajjud salat, but that too, taking the name of your Allah, even in that condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values that. It is hope, inshallah, the person is getting blessings of tahajjud. But the ideal thing is to wake up. And what is going to make the person wake up? He must think, he must ponder, that my most beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out to me. He's calling me. And he said, come and make your tahajjud salat and bow down in front of me now. So when we truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will prompt us to jump off out of that bed and quickly just make wudu and come and read 2 rakat namaz or 4 rakat, whatever we can. And of course, this, we have to make a lot of mujahada on our nafs. But the important thing is not to miss our fajr salat. So these people, the Ibadur Rahman, they have tahajjud salat in their life. Then the fourth one is they have khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khawf means fear. From the ayat, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ. Remove from us the azab of Jahannam. So they have this fear all the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not punish me, Allah must not send me into Jahannam. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would constantly make dua, Wallah, I seek your refuge and protection from the fire of Jahannam. Every day after Fajr Salat, Allahumma ajirni minal nar. Allahumma ajirni minal nar. And after Maghrib Salat. Great virtue for reading this dua. Allah, protect me, save me from the fire of Jahannam. Then the next quality was moderation. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. When they spend, they're not extravagant. They don't overspend. Neither are they miserly or niggardly. They don't hoard their wealth. They spend, but they don't overspend. So, moderation. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those three qualities, what we should not do, or what they do not do. The Ibadur Rahman, they do not worship any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do not kill any person unjustly. And they do not make zina. The topic of zina, we explained casting lustful glances and the harms of illicit relationship. There's 2 or 3 programs we had on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. These qualities of Ibadur Rahman is not something just we hear it once and we expect to just get it into our lives. The ayah that I mentioned today, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةِ, that these Ibadur Rahman, these people who are the true, genuine servants of Allah, slaves of Allah, يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةِ, Allah says, they will be rewarded with غُرْفَة. غُرْفَة means balconies, chambers, palaces, high, lofty mansions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the word ghurufat in the Quran. And ghuraf, which is the plural of ghurfatun, which means a very lofty mansion. In Urdu we say bala khana. huge, lofty mansion, beautiful palaces. So this Ibadur Rahman, Allah says that you were so kind, or you were so obedient to me. So out of my kindness, I will give you those beautiful mansions, those palaces in Jannah. And if you look at the palaces in Jannah, the description is such that they will be made, the bricks, labinatun min zahab, wa labinatun min fidda. If you just imagine and picture it, one brick of gold, not the gold of this dunya, the gold of the dunya is nothing, 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 nothing compared to the gold of the akhirat. So you got a gold of brick, a brick of gold and a brick of silver. Now what is the cement between the two? وَمَلَاطُهَا الْمِسْكُ الْأَذْفَرِ. The fragrant smell of the fragrance of musk. So in between is musk that is cementing the two bricks of the beautiful palaces of Jannah. What is the floor? Al-lu'lu wal-yaqut. Pearls and emeralds. What is the sand? Turabuha. Al-za'faran. Saffron. Saffron is the earth in Jannah. So beautiful are the palaces. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that in Jannah there is a khaymah. Khaymah in Arabic means a huge tent. But here it's a huge palace, which is hollow shaped like a pearl. You see, the palaces of Jannah, the homes of Jannah, are so beautiful, they are huge, huge, very wide, very spacious, not like what we think, restricted. It is so huge, so huge, so huge, and so spacious and so wide that the hadith says, a person will have this huge palace, and in it he'll have ahloon, people of his family. Of course, his immediate family, and of course the hura'een, whatever, people of Jannah, staying there. So many of them will be there, that some of them will never see the others. From that we can gauge how huge that mansion will be. Because we looking at our homes, we can never understand the homes and palaces of Jannah. That is why Rasulullah ﷺ, in a very beautiful manner, he says, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. What is Jannah? How can you describe Jannah? It is that it's so beautiful that no eyes have seen, no ears have really heard the description, the true description of Jannah. And even the thought has not crossed a person's mind. All the engineers and architects in the world, and the builders, and all can get together. But it is impossible for them to produce any home like that in Jannah. Absolutely beautiful. And they'll have a glitter, a luster, a brilliance, absolutely beautiful and shining from a distance. There are various stages in Jannah. People who will be in the lower stage, although having beautiful mansions, but they will look up to those who are higher than them, like how a person in this world is standing outside and he looks up into the sky and is able to see the stars in the sky. Like that, the people of the lower level will be able to see the people of the upper level. Now these people are muqarrabun, who will get this very high position. The word some mufassirin say al-ghurfa here means makanin alin, a very high or the highest stage in Jannah. For who? The Ibadur Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this. And one ayat says, aminun. وَهُمْ فِي الْغُرَفَاتِ آمِنُونَ. They'll be in peace, tranquility, serenity. One hadith says, whoever enters Jannah, yana'am. وَلَا يَبْأَسْ. Whoever enters Jannah, he will be in perpetual bliss, happiness, comfort, enjoying the pleasures of Jannah, never to suffer any misery or wretchedness in his after that. No sickness whatsoever. There's no pain, there's no suffering. There is no mort. He'll be living there forever and ever and ever. There's no end to it. It is only enjoyment and enjoyment. In Jannah, a person goes to make sajda, Allah said, no, no, no. You don't even make sajda here. It is not Darul Amal now. Darul Amal was dunya, where you had to work hard. You pass the test. You don't have to study hard now. Now you must just enjoy yourself. So, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. This is the main point in this whole ayat. Allah says, we will give them these beautiful mansions and palaces and lofty homes in Jannat, bima sabaru, because they were steadfast. They were steadfast on all these qualities we mentioned. We mentioned most of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also spoke about tawbah. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. And then, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. These Ibadur Rahman, they did not speak lies or did not give false evidence. وَإِذَا مَرُّ بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّ كِرَامًا. If, and did not engage themselves in any futile activities. If some haram entertainment is taking place, they ignore it. And whenever they are admonished with any advice, then they accept it. They did not turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to ayats of Quran and hadith and wa'az and nasihat. They accepted wholeheartedly. And they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah must make their children, their wives, the coolest with their eyes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make them leaders for the pious people. So these were all the qualities of Ibadur Rahman. So Allah says, bima sabaru, because they were steadfast on all these qualities. Sabr, we had mentioned previously, there are three different aspects of sabr. The famous sabr we all talk about, it makes sabr. Somebody passed away, somebody makes sabr. There is sabr when a musibat comes on a person, calamity. So he has to exercise that patience. But the other sabr is sabr ala ta'a. Person has to be steadfast on the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is punctual with his salat. Fajr's time, it's like quite early now. So the person has to wake up early. So his steadfastness, this is sabr. Thabit qadam, he is steadfast. Not wavering, not becoming lazy. Then we have sabr anil ma'asiyah. This is the difficult one. Sabr ala ta'a. Everybody is fasting, so we also fasting. Everybody in the salat, we also performing our salat. But to stay away from sin, this is the difficult one. And this requires mujahada. And mujahada is not for one day. Mujahada is a lifelong thing. Lifelong. Wrestling match between nafs and shaitan. Nafs or shaitan, dono ne milkar, hai kya mujhko tabah, we have heard it so many times. These are our two enemies, shaitan and our nafs. So this nafs keeps on provoking us, inciting us, luring us, tempting us. And it is very shrewd. Absolutely shrewd. The nafs attacks us in different ways. In different ways. It brings various thoughts into our mind. The nafs attracts us towards haram. But it does it very shrewdly. And sometimes we do not realize that this is my nafs pulling me and drawing me towards that haram. It begins very innocently. Poor lady, she's a widow. You need to help her, assist her. So we with a good intention. So initially I will go and assist her. Take some food, take some hampers, or take some money. And after the nafs will now begin to attract us more and more and more. So it takes you into the house. Intention is very good. I must be look after the widows and yatim and orphans. And what happens after that? So we should be absolutely wary of our nafs. Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, the gist of it is, nafs is like a snake. Going up the mountain, and suddenly it is winter and it is snowing. It is absolutely cold. That snake is covered with that snow and frost, becomes absolutely hard, can't move. To the onlooker, it seems as though it is dead now. When the person makes ibadat, makes mujahada initially, or he sits a little bit in some waaz and nasihat to some program, bayan, or month of Ramadan, whatever it is, he is in a good environment. So initially he feels, mashallah, I am doing well, fighting my nafs. The nafs makes him feel as though now you have got complete control over me. Now you're a buzrug now. You don't have to make such a great effort now after a few weeks and months. that mujahada becomes lesser now. Instead of increasing, it's lesser. Why? The onlooker looks at the snake and thinks the snake is now dead. But the moment the sun comes out, and the rays of the sun shine on the snake, and the snow begins to melt, now suddenly the snake gets life again. And that is our nafs. Suddenly it pops out its head. Now it wants to attack again. And therefore this mujahada, the struggle against the nafs, is a continuous thing. Right till maut, we have to continue fighting this nafs. وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. These Ibadur Rahman, they're going to get the Jannah. So they're entering into Jannah. As they're entering into Jannah, Mufassirin say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed angels to make the istiqbal and to welcome them. You're going now into the king's palace. So the king sends his special men and courtiers to come and welcome you and embrace you. Imagine if you're flying now, we're going to Makkah or Medina, and we land at the airport, and the king sends his special people now to escort you right from the plane in VIP cars. No custom, no immigration, nothing. One way, go direct to the palace. How important you feel and how happy you become. So Allah sends his angels. These are my banda. What do the angels say? They say salam. They make salam. Salamun alaykum. Why? Bima sabartum. Because you made sabr. All three sabrs. When a musibat came, you exercised patience. Ibadat and ta'at, you were steadfast. Sins, you remained far away from sin. You shun all evil. You did not become a victim of your nafs and shaitan. So bima sabartum. And also some mufassirin say that this also is the salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim. In Yasin Sharif we read that Allah will make salam himself. What an honor it will be. Tahiyyatan wa salaman. So they will greet, these angels will greet the people, these people, with salam. And also it means that this is a dua for the person. That you'll be in peace now, and this peace and enjoyment will not end. It will be forever and ever, perpetual. So in reality, it is a basharat. It is glad tidings for the people of Jannat now, that you are going to enjoy this, these ni'mats of Jannat, and you're going to get the greetings of the angels forever and ever. Khalidina fiha. Allah now emphasizes this. Allah says that they will be in Jannat perpetually. It's not going to go for Jannat and go into Jannat for a couple of days and you come out again, no. حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرَّ وَمُقَامًا. What a beautiful abode it is. And a place of return. A place of residence. A permanent place of abode. And that is Jannat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاؤُكُمْ. Mufassirin have written extensively over this ayat. There's a difference among the scholars. Now we have listened very carefully to this, inshallah, and then we'll terminate. This ayat either is directed to firstly the kuffar. So in other words, for Ibadur Rahman, right till this part of Jannah that we discussed, was referring to the believers. Now the last two verses, Allah addresses the disbelievers. And Allah says, مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell these mushrikeen of Makkah that Allah is not in need of you. If you don't want to supplicate and obey and worship and bring iman in Allah, it won't affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not become annoyed and Allah will not become affected by your disobedience. Allah will lose nothing. Allah is above all needs. So Allah is not in need of your worshipping Him. But it is His absolute mercy, His rahmat, that even if you have to call out to Him and you say, oh Allah, help me. Like how they used to do when they should travel on ship. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ. While these mushrikeen and disbelievers are traveling by sea, and suddenly there's a storm and they're caught in the storm, and now they have this fear that they're going to drown and sink. What do they say then? Quran says many verses, Ya Allah, you assist us. Ya Allah, you help us. You help us. You remove us from the difficulty. We'll bring iman in you. So Allah assists them. Allah saves them. But despite that, they still don't believe. But the point is that Allah says that even in that condition, in shadaid, in difficulty, you were disbelieving and rejecting me. And if you call unto me, I mean not in any need of your ibadat, but if you call unto me, you supplicate to me, Allah says, I will still show you mercy. But Allah says, فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ. Despite my assisting you, you rejected. You disbelieved. فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا. And therefore now, because you rejected, you disobeyed me, you did not bring iman in me, now you will have to suffer the consequence, and that is the fire of Jahannam, which is lizama, which will be clinging onto you. It will be clinging onto you. It will be all the time with you, both meanings. And you will have to remain with it forever and ever. Other scholars have said that this ayah, the first part, refers to the believers. لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. O believers, had it not been for your worshipping me, O believers, had it not been for your making my ibadat, then I would not have even bothered about you then. What it means then, I would not have held you in high esteem. I would not have put you in and given you that great importance and prominence in the world and in the akhirat. I would not have given you that beautiful palaces of Jannat. I would not have given you the ni'mas in dunya and akhirat. But because you worshipped me, and you knew the reason and the maqsad, and the object of why I created you, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created jinn and man except for my ibadat. And because you understood that, and you worshipped me, Allah said, then I showed you prominence. I held you in high esteem, and I gave you that respect and honor and glory. And immediately after that, the scholars say, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again addresses them, or then Allah addresses the disbelievers. فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ. But you, O disbelievers, mushrikeen of Makkah, firstly, and the remaining of the disbelievers in the world, فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ. You rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not want to become His close slaves. You do not want to have these beautiful qualities of Ibadur Rahman. So now you have to suffer the consequences, and that is Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala save us. So these were the qualities of Ibadur Rahman. We have to read this again and again and remind ourselves. And perhaps listen to those bayans again, so that the reality comes into our lives. It's very important when we listen to wa'az and nasihat, we must sit with a very open, and our heart must be clean and ready to imbibe in it these beautiful teachings of Quran and hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes nafs just makes us feel tired and sleepy. This is the qurbani we have to make. Imagine if somebody says that you want to become the closest person to the president of the country. This is what you must have. Everybody wants to become close. I'll get this and I'll get that. I'll have so many perks and so many benefits. What must I have? You quickly ask, there's a page, there's a 10 points you must have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the plus minus 13 qualities of Ibadur Rahman in this ayah. So if you take one quality, can't get all 13 overnight, illa mashallah. Some of these qualities we may already have. So we have to make sure that we are steadfast on these qualities. There are the difficult qualities. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi, when he mentioned these verses, then he says, there are two things here. There is takhalli and tajalli. Tahalli. Takhalli and tahalli. There are few things that we have to take out of our lives, and few things we have to bring into our lives. Taking out of our life, shirk, associating parties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, killing somebody unjustly, committing zina, illicit relationships, and bring into life humility, khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moderation, tahajjud, and all these beautiful salient qualities of Ibadur Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the real the tawfiq of becoming the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our maqsad in this life, that how we can become the muqarrabeen of Allah, how we can connect ourselves to Allah. And right in the beginning we mentioned that Ibadur Rahman, this is the relationship, they are the servants, the slaves of Allah, of Rahman, who is so merciful. And Allah, out of His mercy, gives us this beautiful ni'mat in the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Inshallah, next week, the program will be, inshallah, after Maghrib Salat, not after Isha. Isha is going to be late now. It won't be immediately after Maghrib, so we'll put the time on the board, inshallah. And the SMS will come around, inshallah, exactly what time we will start. But it will be after Maghrib and not after Isha, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين. Oh my most beloved Allah, my most kareem, rahim Allah. Ya Allah, we have this desire in our heart to become Ibadur Rahman. Oh my Allah, we have read, we have learned, we have discussed, Ya Allah, these beautiful qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Oh my Allah, you are Rahman. Ya Allah, you are Rahman. We are your servants here, we are your slaves, Ya Allah. Give us this nisbah to you, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us these beautiful qualities in our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, these beautiful qualities that we read about, Ya Allah. We don't have these qualities, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, hum to bahut kamzor hai, Ya Allah. We just make claims, Ya Allah. We make loud claims that we love you, Ya Allah. And a little bit of thing, that good ibadah that we do in our lives, Ya Allah, immediately we become, we just want to boast and show off, Ya Allah. We have riya and ostentation, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, we have not realized the harms and the ploys and the tricks of our nafs, my Allah. Ya Allah, every day, Ya Allah, we are being overpowered by nafs and shaitan, my Allah. Ya Allah, but we want to become close to you, my Allah. We want to be good people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we do not want to live miserable lives, Ya Allah, and wretched, live a miserable and wretched life, Ya Allah. We want hayat tayyiba, Ya Allah. Give us that ba-lutz zindagi, Ya Allah. Give us that tranquility, peace, serenity, Ya Allah. Give us that sukoon, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are searching for that sukoon, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, come into our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill your noor, Ya Allah, of your marifat, your ishq, your muhabbat into our hearts, Ya Allah. Our hearts have become so dark, Ya Allah, with filth, Ya Allah. All those things that you have prohibited, Ya Allah, we are going indulging in those things, Ya Allah. And those qualities you are asking us, Ya Allah, to bring into our lives, Ya Allah, we are turning far away from those qualities, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, we ask you tonight, Ya Allah, as we have asked you in the past, my Allah. Ya Allah, and with your tawfiq, we will continue asking you in the future, my Allah. Ya Allah, so many hujjaj have come back, my Allah. Some of them are in this masjid right now, my Allah. So many of them may be listening with the receiver, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, they have come back, Ya Allah, with a clean slate, my Allah. Ya Allah, perhaps having mercy upon them, Ya Allah. You show mercy upon all of us, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection. Give us your marifat, your qurb, yaqeen in your dhat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from the sharr of the shirreer, from the fitna of the fitin, from the hasad of the hasideen, from the dhulam of the zalimeen, Ya Allah. Remove the difficulties of the ummat of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they may be, Ya Allah. Whatever their suffering is, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are far away, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah, for not being able to assist them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but you remove the difficulties for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there's so many people, Ya Allah, who have got different problems, Ya Allah. Social problems, domestic problems, Ya Allah, financial problems, Ya Allah. There's no sukoon in their lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, so many are suffering depression, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, you remove each person's difficulty completely, my Allah. Give all of us afiyat, give us that happiness, Ya Allah. Make us happy, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, those who are having financial problems, Ya Allah, they are in debts, Ya Allah. They cannot pay their qarz, Ya Allah. You assist them to pay their qarz, Ya Allah. Put softness and kindness in the hearts of the creditors, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, those who are looking for suitable partners, Ya Allah, there are so many, Ya Allah. Give them the correct and most suitable partners, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are married and have no children, Ya Allah. Allah grant them beautiful offspring, Ya Allah. Next, salih awlad nasib from them. And those who have children, Ya Allah, make their children the coolness to their eyes, Ya Allah. Make them obedient to their parents, may Allah. Oh, may Allah make all of us obedient to you, my Allah. Allah forgive our parents, our wives, our children, Ya Allah, our relatives, Ya Allah. The entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each one of us has come with a desire, Ya Allah. Fulfill each person's desire, Ya Allah. You are well aware of each person's dua, what he's got in his heart, Ya Allah. Allah, sometimes it is difficult, Ya Allah, for us even to express this in words, my Allah. But you are Alim and you are Khabir and you are Aziz and Hakim, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, you know exactly what is best for us. Grant us best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Give us shahadat in your path, Ya Allah. Give us maut in Madina Sharif. Give us baril in Jannatul Baqi, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, protect us from the ploys of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Protect us from the fitnas of Dajjal, Ya Allah. Give us Jannat without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Give us this beautiful, Ya Allah, palaces and mansions of Jannat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the marhumin, forgive them, Ya Allah. Give them Jannat for those in the highest of, Ya Allah, positions, Ya Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, Ya Allah. So many are suffering, Ya Allah. Remove the suffering, Ya Allah. Remove the sicknesses, Ya Allah. Give them complete shifa, my Allah. Give them complete shifa. Ya Allah, shifa is only in your hands, Ya Allah. You give them complete shifa and protect us from those diseases and sicknesses. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, whatever nasihat and wa'az, Ya Allah, whatever programs are taking place, Ya Allah, wherever they may be taking, Ya Allah. Give all of us ikhlas and maqmooliyat, Ya Allah. Give us tawfiq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, more and more tawfiq, Ya Allah, so that we can make islah for ourselves, Ya Allah. And we can come closer to you, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us that sincerity, Ya Allah, and accept it, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept the coming of all these brothers, Ya Allah, and the sisters listening with the receiver at the madrasa, Ya Allah. They are making this qurbani, my Allah. They have worked so hard the entire day, Ya Allah. But for your sake, my Allah. They have not come with any other motive, Ya Allah. They have come solely for your pleasure, my Allah. You accept it. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ